Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Ramble Cast. Here we are. Sorry, I'm looking at my levels here, making sure they are high enough. High enough. Alex Navarro, are you high enough?
Can you get high, Vinny?
Yeah.
You want to get high, Vinny?
Maybe. Can you take me higher, Brad Shoemaker?
Oh, man. Everybody's just skipping over High Enough by Damn Yankees.
Okay.
Anybody?
Yes, I am, in fact, skipping over High Enough by Damn Yankees.
Can you take me high enough?
Can you take me high enough?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I believe that was one of my first Columbia House CDs.
Oh, wow, really?
Long about 1992 or so.
This just reminded me, Damn Yankees reminded me that I think on some road trip recently we passed a Yankee Candle, and my kids were fascinated by the idea that there is a store that just sells candles. Like, that would be like, why?
You should take them to Colonial Williamsburg sometime. No. They literally make the candles for you there.
Oh, the smell of a Yankee Candle still. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have it in my nostrils.
Speaking of pungent aromas.
Yeah.
I've made a very
pungent discovery.
A very, very upsetting discovery.
Uh-huh. A stinky discovery.
I don't think I even realized it. I don't even know why I got that CD. I think I literally just like went down the list. I was like, yeah. Oh, that looks all right. Sure.
That these song was on MTV a lot.
These CDs are a penny. Why not?
Okay.
I don't think I realized at the time that band was a super group.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy Shaw of Styx.
Okay.
Jack Blades of Night Ranger.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Michael Cardelloni of, well, later would join Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you're grimacing.
I know what this face is for.
And Ted Nugent.
Yeah, it's Ted. I mean, Ted Nugent was kind of the featured member in that whole thing.
I don't think I really, man, I didn't realize I owned Ted Nugent material at one time. I'm pretty sure that CD is long gone.
None of us really knew the full scope of Ted Nugent's suck-assness back then. We just kind of thought he was a loudmouth dipshit who played a lot of very loud guitar songs. I do think it's very funny that the second time he started to form a supergroup, he also wanted to put the name Damn in that one. That was that VH1 series, remember? It was like him, the guy from Biohazard. I think maybe Gene Simmons was involved. I forget, but he wanted to call the band Damnocracy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't think that's what they settled on, but that was the name he was going for.
That's searing political commentary there, Ted Nugent.
Yeah. I would have gone with Damnation, but
who was I need to know who was in that supergroup, actually, besides Ted Nugent, because I remember it was a VH1 show. They were trying to basically create a supergroup from a bunch of random people who would do a fucking VH1 show.
Vanilla Ice.
Okay, Scott Ian from Anthrax.
Yeah.
Evan Seinfeld from Biohazard.
Mm-hmm.
Sebastian Bach, was the singer.
Wow.
And John Bonham's son, Jason Bonham. That's who the drummer was. Okay.
Interesting. All right.
And Ted Nugent was involved? Or no?
It was, in fact, Damnocracy was, in fact, the name they went with. And yes, Ted Nugent was was involved in that thing, I think.
I liked Skid Row at the time.
Skid Row is an okay one of those bands.
Speaking of Sebastian Bach, Skid Row was like slightly underrated. I also liked Anthrax quite a bit.
I feel like, I say it a lot because I think about it when these things come up. What you said, Alex, that time is you just can't have kooks anymore. You just
think Ted Nugent was ever actually one of the good kooks, but at the same time, it was treated with a lot more frivolity than it actually maybe should have been.
Like, there's no nice kooks anymore.
No.
I just feel like he didn't know enough to really just know, like...
VH1 told you?
The doors weren't fully kicked open. They were mostly like just a crack and stuff got through. And you're like, also whatever. I was like 12. So what did I know at the time? Garbage Pail Kids were about as ribald as I could go. Atomic Atom.
Brit Pitt is the one I always remember for some reason.
What was it?
Brit Pitt.
Brit Pitt?
Pitt. Yeah.
Pitt.
You can probably imagine.
Can you imagine?
No, I imagine.
Brit is a girl.
Oh, okay. So was she in like falling into a pit? Like quicksand?
Or was like her face like concave or something? Like her face was the pit?
Trying to find a picture now.
Okay.
There's got to be some ranking of Garbage Pail Kids.
Wait, it was Adam
there,
Baum,
right?
There were
a lot of them, is the one thing I will caution here.
Owen Oppenheimer? Is that a real one?
I think Adam Baum was the, like, cover kid, right? That's the one sitting there with the button, with the nuke head.
Oh, here's Brutal Brad.
Oh, okay.
She's just a caveman dragging a woman by her hair.
Wow. Wow.
Brit Pitt, if I remember. It was an arm. Oh, there I found it.
Sorry, it's Armpit Brit.
Oh, is it?
Yes. It's
okay,
Armpit
never mind.
Brit.
Okay, yes. Well, now you see the gimmick.
Yeah.
Okay.
The gimmick is very hairy armpits.
Nice. We should watch the Garbage Pail Kid movie. Put it that
no.
on one, put that on one of our lists. Put
no.
that on the rubber costume list.
No.
I don't know where that goes. A lot of really good. I bet those costumes held up really well and aren't nightmares. But
I
those
mean,
are fun.
I don't think that shit held up in the 80s.
I bet those aren't decaying in some nightmare factory. Brad, yeah.
Nothing. We should just move on. Now I'm just going through Garbage Pail Kids.
Okay.
B.O. Leo.
Okay, mm-hmm. Gross.
As B.O.
Is there a Vinny?
There has to be.
Is there a skinny Vinny? Is it just a skeleton?
Maybe. This is just whatever Google image search is giving me.
Okay.
I bet there's got to be a comprehensive index of...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's probably a checklist if you can collect them all.
Sure.
Are vinyls the Garbage Pail Kids of 2016, 17? Are, you know,
what the fuck did you just ask?
You know, the not vinyl, the records, the
what
Funko Pops, like you know, you just continue to make them.
No,
no. Oh, you're defending Garbage Pail Kids, or are you defending Funko Pops? Okay,
what I'm doing is saying that Garbage Pail Kids, you can tell them apart. They are different. They all have distinctive traits. Every Funko Pop is just the same shit.
Wow, I found it.
Funko Pop list.
No. I found what at least claims to be the internet's preeminent Garbage Pail Kids resource.
Okay, finally.
All right.
GPK.com.
Garbage Pail Kid.
But like spelled out.
Okay.
GEEPEEKAY.com.
Okay.
The most bodacious Garbage Pail Kids reference website on the planet.
Can you search it?
Let's see. Wow, there's a lot of galleries here.
Hmm.
Can
you sort by kid?
I don't think you can search it.
Well, then it's not a good gallery.
Can pull up individual series. Like I guess it looks like it was maybe one. Yeah, one. No, it was like two to three series a year. It looks like no. Oh my god! In their heyday, it was like five. Like 1987, there were five Garbage Pail Kids series.
I only collected for like a season or so.
Yeah, I had like a handful of packs. Yeah. Like ever. Yeah. I think.
I don't think I ever went full. Like I'm gonna get them all. I think they were cards or stickers originally.
Cards.
They were just always cards? Okay.
I think so.
Were they not always stickers? I thought they were cards that could be stickers, or like you could pull it off the card.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because I remember sticking them into like a photo album.
By this 87 series I'm looking at, you can see the sticker cut out around all the illustrations. The thing I'm really confused about here is that as I scroll through these, each one has two different names.
Yeah. Yes.
Is that... Like,
is it possible, like, regionally they had different names?
I guess that's possible. Like,
I thought they had alternatives, like alts.
Like, there is both Drippy Debbie and also Snot Rope Hope.
Snot Rope. So it's a gross
It might be
word.
One of those things where maybe certain terminology doesn't translate into certain languages, so they just decided to go with something a little more, like, translatable
for
some of them.
There's Rotten Robin and Early Bert.
Early Bert. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Really stretching.
Some of these don't really communicate the... Man, some of these are just gnarly.
Uh-huh. Just gnarly.
There's both Ill Jill and Wretchen Gretchen.
Okay, she's just vomiting, I assume.
Okay, here we go. They have checklists. There is a base set checklist and a variation checklist. So
okay.
I guess is that a thing?
I thought I remember that being a thing.
Did they just do variations to make it more collectible?
Absolutely. That
is
why
happened?
You do that.
Does Adam Baum have a variation?
I don't know. Is that series one? Is that the very first?
I think that's like series one, like card one.
Let's see. There's Upchuck and Heaven Steven.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Was it Upchuck Chuck or just Upchuck?
I think that was like literally the first one. It's just up. Oh, sorry. It's Upchuck.
Okay.
And Heaven Steven.
Heaven
Steven. There's Dead Ted and Jay Decay.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's there's Adam Bomb.
Adam Bomb.
Alternate name, Blasted Billy.
Oh, geez, that's way worse. That's
Adam
just
Bomb
not as
is
good.
Better.
Yeah, yeah.
Blasted Billy just sounds like a drunk fucking frat boy.
Anyway, back when things were so bad, the garbage ban those Garbage Pail Kids mm-hmm. that they're a pox upon society.
Yeah,
they're ruining like they everything.
It's like they've tried again several times.
Just oh, there've definitely been magic. Revivals. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh wow! Like as of recently as last year, it looks like some came out.
I bet okay. you. Okay. Can I make a statement here that you can tell me if it's correct or not?
Sure.
This was almost assuredly some kind of weird NFT project, right?
I don't know. This is described as Chrome Series 5.
Okay.
Chrome Series.
Release date December 2022.
Okay.
They look like cards.
Okay.
These look to be scanned.
Okay.
They're like foil. Is that the term? Ooh. Foil? They're like foil, like shiny
Ooh.
Chrome.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I don't collect cards.
No.
Not my thing.
I used to.
I have some. I've got a lot of, like, I was going through an old album. I have a lot of, like, Star Wars collectible sticker things that you used to get. I don't know where, but they used to sell you all sorts of stuff. Now they mm-hmm. don't sell you anything.
Yep.
Now it's all subscription based.
That's right. That's right.
Speaking of which, I was watching as I do, sitting down, watching my shows.
Your stories.
My
your
stories. Programs. And I think I talked about this before, but I think I was moments away from canceling my Prime because of the commercials during The Boys. I just could not. I was so mad, so furious in that I was like, on principle, I think I'm just done.
I'm just done. I'm really confused because we watched all of Gen V like a month ago.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's just a hella commercials all up and down those things.
Yeah.
As we've been watching The Boys, zero commercials, like even at Weird. The start, let alone like no commercial breaks. There are no ads even at the start when we start the episode. I don't know what's going on there.
Your pie hole's working better.
Maybe.
DNS sync is working. I don't know. I got like three mid-roll commercials in one episode, like three breaks.
That's how it was with Gen V, and God, it's all, I mean, yes, that's how TV used to be, but also
there's a principle
directly.
Of the thing. Yes, that's right.
You're paying directly.
So I mean, I was paying for cable. I still got commercials, yeah. but like there's something about it that really. I mean, also it's like Amazon doesn't need my money, my
no,
extra money.
No. Like, and like the Prime delivery benefits have been getting worse.
Yeah,
and they're a shitty exploitative company.
And I've just been trying to use them less and less, so I just feel like I'm ready to walk away from it.
I've been urging my girlfriend to cancel Amazon Prime, and she's been resisting, but we might be getting closer.
The only thing I still, when it happens, that I appreciate, and I've had more success than I've had failure, is the return policy from them, because I feel like they are such like a giganto megacorp, they just don't give a damn about return stuff as much.
But. So I've seen chatter out there from people who are now getting flagged as like too many returns.
Oh, interesting.
Like they are apparently starting to crack down on excessive returns now.
I don't necessarily, I don't do it that much. I only really do it if something is in shattered pieces when I get it.
If it just doesn't work. Yeah.
Yeah. If it's completely broken or if this has happened like three or four times, a package just comes empty. Like an envelope is just empty.
Wow. I haven't seen that one before.
Yeah. Like usually it's on something that's in like some thinner packaging, like a envelope or something. And it's just ripped on the top and come empty.
Yeah.
I recently just got a fan and the fan was cracked. The housing was cracked on it. And I just super glued it. Cause I was like,
wow,
it's just not,
that's faster.
Huh? Yeah.
I can't, I just can't bring myself to like, I know I could do something like that. It's just the principle of it.
I know. Like I looked at it and I was like, this thing is heavy. I don't feel like, what am I going to do? Put this on my porch and somebody's going to come pick it. I don't know. There was just a story somewhere, I think in the New York Times, about like Target's partnered with Amazon returns, and all the employees at the Target were like, this fucking sucks.
This sucks.
This is not much, was not supposed to be my job. And now I spent 90% of my day trying to walk people through a returns thing. I think somebody in the article said someone just brought 5 chairs back because they were trying them all out and then returning them. And then we had to like repackage them and stuff. Sounds
cool.
Miserable. But I did finish The Boys, and boy, howdy, Man, that thing was flying pretty close to the sun there. I'm not going to spoil anything.
I did not hear great things about this season.
I enjoyed it so far.
I guess it's done now.
Yeah, we're only two episodes in. It's been okay so far. Has not blown my mind.
I think it ends in an interesting place for a follow-up season if they're going to finish this thing off.
Yeah, they've said season five is the last one.
You know, I think it gets a little, sometimes it bites it down a little too hard on the tongue that's in its cheek sometimes, maybe for its own good.
That was the thing I got from this season from people talking about it, was that like the stuff that was generally considered the satire and sort of the biting commentary just got a lot more broad.
It's a little on the nose and less, like the stuff in season two with Stormfront, the Nazi character and the super corporate girls get it done marketing campaign thing, like that stuff was like pretty decent. Like the first two seasons I thought were like pretty, maybe not subtle. Subtle's maybe not the word, but
subtler than this one.
You know what I mean?
Yes, they turn the volume up to 15 on a thing that's already 12, and you're like, okay, you're taking it further. Here it feels like they put the volume right where the volume is on a lot of this stuff, and it's just like, I don't know if this is satire or you're just writing the last QAnon thing that was in a thread.
That's kind of it. Like some of it is just a little too obvious now.
Yeah, right.
It's not clever enough.
That's right. Yeah, maybe like not as clever.
You can't just repeat the conspiracy theories you're seeing on social media uncritically or without any kind of modification or clever twist.
It's like a really weird case for fair use, where it's like, well, you're not really adding anything new to this. You're just kind of plagiarizing the conspiracy theory and not doing enough of your own twist on it. And I don't know if that is the boys' fault or the world we live in, where it's impossible to keep. You cannot, satire's dead because you cannot keep up.
It can be both.
Yeah.
Could be both. Anyway, yeah. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I was sad this season ended. I would have liked to have seen more. I think that show is steering into a little bit of some other superheroes can be bad fiction that I've, you know, there was a kind of a spate of it. And there are some books. I don't know if you guys have ever read The Reckoners is like a book where the superheroes are bad. And what's the other one? Invincible.
I know of Invincible.
Invincible has a show now as well.
Yeah,
it's animated, isn't it?
Super popular, yes.
Yeah.
Some stuff feels like it's converging, but I just still think the actor who does Homelander and a lot of the other portrayals are just so good.
Homelander is an all-time chilling villain. Like there have been times watching him on screen that I was just like genuinely like creeped out and felt uncomfortable. Like he's that sinister.
Mm-hmm. He does such a great job of that. Yeah. That sneer, like, yes. You know, very good. And I think some of the other actresses and actors do a pretty good job. Anyway, if I cancel Prime, mm-hmm. can you just buy that a la carte?
I don't think so.
Really? You have to have a subscription?
Yeah, I don't believe that's the case. I could be wrong.
I want to say some Amazon stuff does eventually find its way to physical media, but I don't know about buying episodes because digitally? I don't ever buy digital episodes of anything.
That may happen. Like Disney has started putting out 4K releases of some stuff on disc. Like Andor got a 4K disc release earlier this year.
Okay. I don't think I could just buy the season from like the Amazon marketplace.
Yeah, I'm on I pulled up season three just to look at an older one, and yeah, it just says watch with Prime, start your free trial.
Oh, I see.
There's no like buy it now.
Well, maybe
there are other ways.
Well, yes.
Yeah, I could do a monthly subscription.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? That's what I'm talking about. Uh-huh, definitely.
Uh-huh. Actually, it looks like season three you can now watch on Freevee.
Oh. Well, I don't know what the difference between Freevee and the ads I get on the other thing are.
Freevee is
kind of its own thing.
Freevee from Amazon is a premium free streaming service. Watch thousands of hit movie shows, Freevee originals, and live 24/7 entertainment channels to match your mood. They don't mention ads, but I have to assume this is ad supported. That actually sounds like it's becoming like maybe the new thing in streaming.
Is television?
I mean, free ad supported streaming services like Tubi. Yes. I had never heard of Tubi until I bought this TV last fall, and the Tubi app is on there and like very prominently featured a lot.
Isn't that just Hulu's original thing?
No, I don't think.
Hulu's basically just ad supported streaming of
Tubi might have spun off from Hulu at some point.
I don't think Tubi has anything to do with Hulu, but I know what you mean. I mean the model. Hulu's original model, but I believe it was always a tiered approach.
Okay.
I think it was always like you can watch some stuff with ads, but not everything, and then pay to remove the ads or something like that. But I don't think you can pay for Tubi. I don't think
they have all your money.
I don't think they have a paid like ad free tier. Like looking at the website, I think it's just you just watch it with the ads and that's it.
I think there are certain rungs of certain streaming services. I think Crackle might also be a similar kind of thing that are just designed for you to watch and take in the ads, and they are not worried about a subscription model. I think that's why these smaller ones exist, is that they exist as an alternative to the ones that you have to subscribe to.
So that's the thing, is that I don't have numbers in front of me, but I've seen suggestion going around that Tubi is like quietly way fucking bigger than you think.
Oh really?
Like that it might actually be bigger than a lot of the paid services at this point.
Who owns that? Do you know?
I don't know.
What's the one that Paramount has? Is it Pluto?
Paramount Plus?
Yeah. Well, they have Paramount Plus as the subscription one, but there is also Pluto TV or something like that. Yeah.
I was just trying to think of there's another one like Tubi, and Pluto is it.
Because when we were in CBS, Pluto was talked about a lot about trying
that
to
use. That is what I recall.
Pluto and Pluto
Unfortunately,
stuff.
Unfortunately, no one else talks about Pluto.
Who's Paramount Plus talking to now for a merger?
There was some talk at one point that Sony, I think, was interested.
Was it Sony?
But okay. I don't know if that ended up happening or going anywhere.
Paramount Plus or just Paramount?
Paramount.
Paramount the company, yeah.
Yes, there were rumors about a Paramount acquisition. Who was it? Skydance.
Skydance.
That happened. That is happening.
That is happening.
Yes,
okay.
That's right. In fact, I think they sell for like $8 billion, it looks like. still not entirely clear who was behind Skydance, other than I think it's Larry Ellison's son that runs it.
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct.
They put out movies?
They do all kinds of stuff. Like they have a game.
It's a multimedia strategy.
Label.
Okay.
What do you want to call it?
Skydance. I would say that was one of the first Skydance things, I think, was the games label.
It was? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. My bigger problem is it's not even necessarily my time, though I have grown used to no commercial interruption. When I watch commercials, I just get mad at the dumb products. And I think that's the thing that raises my blood pressure enough where I'm just like, the hell are they selling me? What are they trying to do?
The quality of commercials on television has gotten much worse, but the quality of commercials on internet broadcasting has reached a fevered pitch of insane bullshit. I will say I was watching Evo over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
And most of the ads were fairly innocuous. The usual stuff. Check out this gaming headset. Check out these gamer chairs. Check out this Chipotle. There was one that kept coming up that was, it seemed like, okay, so they're posters for various video games and nerd-related material. They go on your wall using this sort of like sticky magnet kind of thing. Like there's a metal thing on the back of the poster, and then the you stick the magnet onto the wall, and then you just kind of hook it on there.
Okay.
And the ad they ran for this was maybe the single most depressing thing I have watched on any live broadcast of video game television ever in my life, because they demonstrate, it's like, look at this barren room. Look how sad it is. And it's a floor mattress. It's a fucking milk crate with a laptop on it. It is just this empty white room of fucking sadness.
Is it the meme of the guy in VR in the huddled in the corner on the mattress?
Yeah. But then they're like, okay, we're going to zhuzh this up, right? With these hot posters. And it's still this barren, depressing, fucked up room that now has a day bed in it and a little table for your laptop and these three video game posters that are definitely going to make someone fuck you.
Uh-huh. Great. Okay, good. You sold me. How can I get in on this?
They ran these ads constantly during the broadcast, and I'm like,
great.
Who is being convinced by this?
Advertising@nextlander.com. Send us what you got.
What sad ass floor mattress life are you living where this fucking Street Fighter 6 poster is going to be the thing that saves you?
You just got to let the people know.
It was so upsetting after a while to see that over and over again.
I think it was during The Boys, I got one over and over again that was this some woman, you know, it's before you get the skip button, and I'm just like hammering on the thing, like, please just skip. And it was a thing for somebody snapping the retaining straps on a pair of sheets, and every time we got to the skip at about 15 seconds, I remember her last line is always, did you know your sheets are full of bodily excrement?
Yes.
And then it skip.
I don't need you to tell me that.
That's the way I love it.
Yeah.
And she's snapping these like retaining straps on the sheets. The other one I couldn't make out. I saw a couple of times. I don't know if this was on The Boys or something else. But is it Dr. Drew from Love Lines? Remember Love Lines?
Yeah.
Love I remember Line. Love Line.
What about him?
Remember the I think he's selling like workout stuff or okay.
He's not gone quite as off the rails as Adam Carolla, but he's gone pretty off the rails.
Okay, because I think it's a guy who looks like him, but maybe weirdly like carrot top buffed and just kind of.
Oh, yeah. He was always kind of a gym rat, and I think that's just kind of gone on more in the ensuing years, but like he also was always kind of a hack, and I think he's just leaned much harder into being a hack that sells stuff now.
Oh, the weird things that come. I'm just like trying to hit skip and I'd be like, that guy looks so familiar. I think that's the Love Lines guy. Anyway, I think he's selling supplements.
It's just Love Line. I don't think it's Love Lines.
Love Line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, as in you're calling the Love Line because it was a call-in show.
Oh, it wasn't the Love Lines?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, just Love Line.
Back when we had phones?
Yeah.
Call the Love Line. Dr. Drew, what's the other guy? Mm-hmm. Adam Carolla?
Yeah.
Does he have a talk show?
Oh, yeah.
More.
Okay.
Does he? I don't think he's still.
I think
does,
it's a podcast.
He?
I don't know.
Yeah. But yes. He's. Yes. Yeah. He's definitely done a lot of podcasting in recent years. But they'll let anybody podcast these days.
Well, let me put it this way: he was hanging out with the PragerU guys at some point. That's how far to the right that dude fucking fell at some point.
And yes.
Who was on the Man Show?
Jimmy.
That
Kimmel.
Was also Adam Carolla and Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay. Okay. And then Jimmy Kimmel got his own show, right?
Yeah. And Jimmy Kimmel kind of just sort of held the center.
just
kind of stayed where he was and never really shifted one way or the other.
Just gonna hold the wheel real tight. 10
I'm
and 2.
Just going to be a very normal talk show host and no one is gonna ask me any questions about my former associations.
Just rip the rear view mirror right off the car and we just drive forward here. Don't
we drive in
back.
A straight line. That is how this goes.
Yeah, I don't know. Advertising on I paid to get away from it. I usually only see it on when I'm at hotels or if I'm on YouTube, but I don't watch that much stuff on YouTube, so I don't think I see it. And most of the stuff I have seen on YouTube has mostly been those like fake ads that I see a lot, unless it's political season, which it never is here in the United States. The fake ads where it's like, 9 out of 10 doctors say you should go to this. Did you know that putting bee honey under your armpit is the cure for sadness?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I am not taking these fucking mushrooms you are trying to sell me.
Totally.
I am not doing any of this shit.
This man invented a cure for sadness in his basement over 10 years. MIT professional. You know, like those obviously before they
like
all
figured
out.
Like someone's using the TikTok narrator voice to fucking do their ads, basically.
Is there a TikTok narrator
voice? There's a few different like narrator voices that are built into those apps if you feed them.
Yeah, I don't know how many there are. I kind of just know the one male and the one female one from TikTok. I love the male TikTok narrator voice so much. I don't know why.
I didn't know there was one. It's just like is it just like an AI generated voice?
Yeah, it's text to speech. I don't know if it's speech voice. I don't know if it's using AI or not, but it's I don't know how to describe it.
There's a little bit of a folksy quality to it.
Well, it's got a really exaggerated. It's kind of like newscaster voice, but not exactly. But there's a little bit more intense than that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I can't put. Actually, I like both of them. I like both of the TikTok voices. Sound like just unnatural enough, but in like a they are like naturally unnatural. That I know that makes no sense. I don't know how to. I don't know how to qualify this. But they like I could listen to those voices all day for some reason.
Do they have names? Do you know? Is it like
I doubt it?
Like
I have never used TikTok.
Where it's like Bruce.
So I have no idea. But I know that whenever I hear that voice start a video, I immediately click off of that video.
something about the cadence and inflections in the way they both speak is just like just slightly off, but not in a weird off-putting way, in kind of like a blightful way.
Like it wouldn't pass the Voight Conf, but you'd have to sit there and think about it for a minute.
Well, it's like those ads, like and everything else now that just sounds like slop.
Yeah.
This AI slop.
We're in our slop era. Everyone knows that. That is literally what every company is producing now is slop.
Slop is such a good word for AI garbage. Yeah. Like I like it a lot. I hope it sticks around.
I just saw a video this morning with the male TikTok voice. And I'm trying to, if I could remember what it was, I would send it to you.
Was it funny?
They never are.
Oh, it was about a type of Italian cheese that's made with maggots.
Okay, that's not, what it was. That's
this
gross.
Type of Italian cheese is made with maggots.
that's not too far off of the sound of the voice.
Yeah.
Gross.
Let me see if I can just find it.
That does sound like the commercial's voice.
Yeah.
It's just somebody who is like reading a script for the first time and trying not to put any inflection in on it.
Maggot cheese.
Okay, that's enough.
I don't want to know about that.
That's originating from Sardinia, Italy.
Okay, well, we've done that now.
The TikTok man told me it tastes like ice cream.
Sure, that's what they want you to believe. Here, smell this.
But you know what? The TikTok man has never tasted ice cream.
No, how could the TikTok man know?
The TikTok man does not know what anything tastes like because the TikTok man is not real.
You think that's maggot cheese you're eating?
Mm-hmm.
What I wouldn't give for some maggot cheese.
I have just written my first horror creepypasta, and it's about the TikTok man.
Uh-huh, it's good. Okay.
You start hearing the TikTok man's voice wherever you go.
I don't know if you can get to that, Vinny, in the Slack. You literally, the first line where he just said, "This is the most dangerous cheese in the world."
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. That's the voice. Yeah, I know it.
You'll get a sense of the voice very quickly.
Okay. The man clicked on the video to learn about the maggot cheese.
I'll see if I can pull it up on my phone.
Yes, there's something about the cadence of it is just a little bit weird.
Yeah.
In a way that I can't get enough of.
Can I play it on the, can I hold it up to my thing?
Yeah, sure.
Here?
Yes.
Cheese from Sardinia, Italy.
Because
there are thousands of maggots on this cheese.
Gross. That voice is
But it's also the presence of maggots. That's what gives this cheese its unique taste and texture. Casu Marzu cheese has been around for thousands of years.
I don't know, that sounds pretty good. That's better than the commercials.
It's not bad, but it's like Brad said, it's just off enough that if you listen to it long enough, it starts to make you insane.
It's a little threatening.
I mean,
the music helped. The music helps make it a little threatening.
That's also the voice that a lot of people will use to narrate the film clips they have stolen from various movies and then uploaded to Facebook. And then they will write narration that is like, this is a real video that is happening to a real person. But then it's just that voice narrating some scene from fucking a Jake Gyllenhaal movie no one remembers.
The first time I ever heard the female TikTok voice was on some video that went super viral a couple of years ago of a woman being bullied at a baseball game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
By the women in front, behind her, I think. I think it was behind her, yes. She was like trying to just like take selfies of herself, and she kept seeing the people through her camera behind her, like very obviously mocking her.
Is that bullying?
And they were being pretty shitty about it.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway. I made her cry.
But if you're taking selfies and you're making faces behind, is that bad?
I don't know. It was I think they were more like mocking her looks and stuff. It wasn't
mean spirited.
If that's personal.
It was something mean spirited. I don't remember. It was something fairly mean spirited, but the reason I bring it up is that that voice, the female voice, is like extremely upbeat and cheery.
For this darker like topic.
Super cheerful. Computer voice going, they made me cry. Like it's just like only in 2024.
Yes.
Are we getting content of this nature?
I thought TikTok was illegal. Are you guys, where are you guys smuggling in your TikTok?
I heard
on TikTok, TikTok's illegal.
Trump vowed if he's elected, he won't ban TikTok.
Oh, I thought he wanted to ban TikTok.
No.
I'm so confused.
I don't think he knows what he wants moment to moment.
Okay. I'm sure some money changed hands or something.
Should I dump all my TikTok shares? Is that what you're saying? Divest now? The thing they don't want you to know about TikTok. That's my robot voice. Bring back Dr. Svetzo. OG robot voice. Dr. Svetzo has a podcast now. You don't want to know what he's selling. He's selling
Max
supplements.
Headroom.
Yeah, yeah. They're hawking supplements. It's pretty good. They've got some ideas about the government. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Man, I would actually love it if they did a fucking Max Headroom voice for all TikTok. Like if they made that a TikTok narrator you could choose, That'd be amazing.
With the glitching out and everything?
Yes.
Oh, man. I don't know. Don't drive me bananas.
Look, it's too only much. For me and no one else, but I want it.
I just want the Dr. Sfeitzo voice because it's the most computer, and it has to be coming out of a Commodore 64 sound chip, and I want Dr. Sfeitzo. Hello and welcome to Dr. Sfeitzo. What do you have to tell me about the woke mob? Mm-hmm. you can call in 555 Sfeitzo. Caller. Caller.
I'm shaking my head vigorously at this.
I'm going to... That's right. They're all Antifa. I'm going to write my whole show. Mm-hmm. Somebody's probably done that already. I'm always 5 years too late to the scene. Don't worry. Anyway, cancel my Prime subscription is what you're saying. It can be done.
Yeah,
it can be done. It has been done.
Cancel Prime. I think I still have HBO Max, Hulu, Apple TV. What are the other ones? I know.
There's 17,000 of them now, Vinny.
Netflix. I think those are ones that I split between me and my wife.
It's kind of telling that Netflix was not the first one we thought of for any of us. Like, it's not that we didn't think of it at all, but like, we don't really talk about Netflix that much these days.
We're not going to talk about Netflix.
We haven't had Netflix and I don't even know how long. I wonder if they've deleted my data yet.
Well, I think they keep it for like a couple of years, right?
I believe it's 18 months last I checked.
Oh, okay.
I'm such a like data sentimentalist that I was thinking about re-upping for a month just to renew the data countdown so they don't kill my watch. I downloaded my whole watch history before we canceled, so I already have that.
Can you like re-upload it if you need to?
Can you send them a CSV? It is a CSV that you download, so that's all I've got, but I don't know.
My problem is I have like one show that I watch on all of them, and then I don't cancel between the show.
That's the problem.
Yeah, I need to cancel, but like I'm waiting for Severance to come back on Apple's thing, right? So it's like, okay, I want to watch that, but I don't need to keep the subscription.
Yeah,
and I want to watch John Oliver on HBO's thing, and like I want to watch The Boys on Prime, but I should just cancel between the seasons and just rotate.
Will was saying he does all of that through iCloud now because I Apple's got that integration.
No.
So you can just sign up for and cancel all those services directly through your Apple account now. With a single button, you literally just like go into the account and it's like, here's all your subscriptions. You just like tap cancel next to whichever one.
Huh. I think through the Apple Marketplace.
I think it's in your iCloud account somewhere.
And weird. Okay. Just easier to manage.
It sounds like there is a slight surcharge. It is like just a tiny bit more expensive to subscribe that way.
But maybe easier to manage it all.
Yeah. The trade-off is that you can just cancel and re-up at will. On your phone very quickly.
We should go into a rotation in this house for that stuff. The kids use Netflix a lot, Alex. They watch a bunch of stuff. My thing with Netflix is every time or any of these services now, when I go to look for a movie that I'm like, oh, we should go watch, let's say Ghostbusters or something, none of them like have it. You still have to buy the movie or rent the movie. Remember, I don't know if you do remember, but I feel like Netflix was still a place where you go and watch a movie. You know, like go and like get this movie.
Once.
But I feel like now it's I still wind up being on Amazon and they're either charging me to rent it or they want me to subscribe to Paramount Plus or something like that, who owns the rights to it. So
the thing that happened is they signed all those content deals early on before any of the studios understood the value of streaming.
Yeah.
And then once all those deals expired, of course, the studios were like, well, we're not giving you that again. We're going to launch our own thing. So that's when that changed.
So anyway, I should do that. I should find I bet there are services that'll aggregate subscriptions like that or make it, like you said, Brad, someplace where you can just on off toggle pretty easily. Because I'm sure they'll take my money. You know, if I want to re-up, it's not like they're going to be like, we're pretty offended you canceled that time, so no, you have to wait or we're gonna charge you more. I mean, they'll take my money. They'll just probably make it hard to cancel it. So I've got a list of subscription stuff that I keep threatening to cancel, and I should definitely do it. I want to live cleanly. Cable bill, sorry, like internet bill, utilities, insurance, what else? That's it.
Phone. That's pretty much it here.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Like Amazon Prime is the only one of all those streaming services we have, and that's more for the delivery. And even that, I think we might get rid of.
Yeah. It's too many. I think I still have my chess.com subscription.
Good lord.
I get rid of that. I know. But I use it. I play.
That sounds fair.
You can just play chess, man.
Can't. No, not without a subscription. And they'll never let you. They'll never let you in.
Real quick, before we move on from subscriptions, not to wrap back around to the boys too much. Did you watch Gen V?
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is good because it does tie back in pretty.
Yeah, I understood that actually like straight up characters show up from that show and stuff. So
Not in a super meaningful way, but you will understand more of what's going on towards the very end. I enjoyed watching that show. Like very popcorny, very
I really liked the first half. Like the college kid stuff was excellent, and then that stuff completely totally dropped that for the kind of central mystery.
Yeah,
I'm for the, in the back half, back which was it, not as great.
Yes, with the woods or the forest. Okay, yes.
full on like secret lab under the school.
Yes. That stuff was fun to watch. I don't really have anything else I'm watching right now, so it. Now's a great time to just cancel everything and just go to sleep.
Walk into the woods.
Yeah. You know what I'm reading? I feel like, Brad, you probably have read this. For some reason, I'm reading the Elminster books.
Nice.
From the D&D. This started with the first one. Oh, here's an introduction to Elminster as a kid.
Huh. I don't think I realized he had his own books.
Yeah. It's Ed Greenwood's books. And
did you ever go look him up? Ever look up what he looks like now?
No. Does he look like a wizard?
Yeah, we talked about it 2-3 weeks, maybe a month ago.
Okay.
He's kind of like halfway between Gandalf and Santa Claus.
Okay.
Just flowing white hair and beard and like button up shirt with suspenders kind of guy and probably a pipe somewhere.
You think he dresses up as a wizard, as Elminster here and there?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
I can't say the books are great, but I don't know. They're kind of goofy and fun. I needed something like kind of... for the last couple of weeks, a little lighthearted and maybe just not challenging to read.
Oh my God, there's like 12 of these.
I think there's a set. The first ones are like 3 or 4 it's like Wizard at Large or something.
One of them is literally called Elminster in Hell.
In Hellminster.
I also started, I was just looking at like wiki pages, but I was trying to refresh my memory for the Forgotten Realms books I read as a kid.
Uh-huh.
In fact, it was off of I don't follow Ed Greenwood, but he ends up on my Twitter feed fairly regularly.
He follows you?
Maybe. He was lamenting some of the stuff he did and didn't get to do under TSR.
Okay.
When he was creating that stuff, and then he lost control of all of it, you know, like he just kind of got shut out or whatever. Obviously gets no royalties or anything. But he was talking about like, here's what I would do differently these days. And a lot of it was like, we would have done a lot more table setting in the setting before we went crazy on the big world shattering events.
Okay.
Because like I was reminded the very first trilogy I read in Forgotten Realms was the one where all like a bunch of the gods like straight up lose their powers and then die.
Oh, I know that one.
It's the Avatar trilogy.
Okay.
I'm sure some people know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Can you name any gods from Forgotten Realms?
Mistra.
Okay.
The goddess of magic.
She might be one of... So, like, the book is basically about a bunch of just adventurers who all end up becoming gods, basically. Like...
Tithe? T-Y-C-H-E?
Do you know a Cyril?
C-Y-R-I-L?
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen that name.
Like God, like Trickster God or something like that. It's kind of Loki type figure.
Okay, so they turn into like mortals?
So is the big god Ao? Is that what I remember?
I don't know.
Is that like the god of Forgotten Realms? Like the god of gods?
Well, they're all the different planes, so it's like tough to know who's like god of what, you know?
That's it's basically the Eru equivalent from Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Like there's like
the god of gods.
Like you've got a heavenly host, but then you have to have a god.
Uh-huh.
And God basically just gets sick of all the other gods, the lesser gods, and is like, fuck you, you're not gods anymore.
Okay.
And so they all become mortal. And I guess that throws everything into disarray because like magically, because you can't not have gods of everything.
Uh-huh.
I wanna say there's weird shit like not having a god of death means like people can't die, or there's just like walking corpses everywhere as an example.
That's like a very, I feel like that's a very Hades style thing of like, if there's nobody to collect the dead, you have no dead.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, if I remember, and I read these when I was 13, but if I remember, it's like that in every domain, like every category where the god is no longer there serving their role. Things are just getting super fucked up. And the gods, which a lot of people have cause to hate for various reasons, are now just mortal and walking around, and people are trying to kill them.
The gods must be crazy.
And then in a bunch of cases, the gods actually get killed, and then a lot of like the main, a lot of the main characters of this book end up becoming the new gods.
Oh, really? And that went forward as like canon?
Yes. And then that was like the whole thing, like looking those characters up. I was like, oh, I remember them. Just like this guy was just the fighter in that book. And it's like, oh no, he was actually the god of death for like a very long time in Forgotten Realms. Maybe still is. Kellenvor?
Was it like, who was it?
Kellenvor?
Oh, I don't know.
This is all like 30 years ago. This may all have been washed away by now.
Was it between like an edition change? Do you know? Like, were they transitioning to a different edition? Because they did a similar thing between, I think, 4 and 5, where they had to, and 3.5, 3.5 and 4, where they kind of blew up the Pantheon a bit. They killed Mystra and made magic go away so they could do a reset for their new edition, and then basically kind of brought her back for 5.
The first one of these came out in 1989. So I don't know. Okay. I don't know what edition,
that
corresponded
like
to. Maybe 3rd.
Okay.
I remember my friends who were way into D&D were playing like 3rd edition at that point, I think. Or like early 90s was 3rd edition, right?
I don't remember the timelines, and I could even be getting that 3.5 to 4 Mistress stuff wrong, but they definitely did something where the weave got all bad.
Interesting. Sorry, it was not Cyril, it was Cyric.
Oh.
If that
nah.
Rings any bells?
Nah. That doesn't.
Okay, this probably all got like replaced yet again 3 times since then.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. All that is to say that Greenwood was basically saying like, "Yeah, I wish we had done more just like setting up the world before we then started tearing it down in all these crazy ways."
I mean, it's got a lot of campaigns and a lot of books to sell, you know?
Right. You gotta keep it fresh. You gotta kill all those toys so you can sell new toys.
Totally. And what's his face with Dritz has got to get in there and start doing his own stuff. Yeah. Ari Salvatore has got to get in there and write some canonical things. There is a pretty good, I have it on my shelf, or it's, I think it's packed up, pretty good timeline book of the Forgotten Realms that tries to pull as much of that stuff together into a cohesive canonical timeline. It's a little Zelda timeline-ish. But it tries its best to take from a lot of sources to say like, okay, here's what happened. But anyway, that's what's been putting me to bed at night as,
I've been, like I said, I've been kind of thinking the same thing. Like maybe I should reread some of those Forgotten Realms just as like throwaway.
Yeah.
I don't know if trashy maybe is a little too
pulpy.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like just as, you know, it's like, this is not challenging material. This is just something fun to like fall asleep to, like you said.
Yeah, it's one of the, like, I've had a little trouble falling asleep the last couple of weeks and like been like, okay, this is just some good, easy reading, silly stuff. So yeah, it's been okay. It's been good. I noticed that I've had this like really bad back pain recently, and it's weird. It seems to be, I think it is completely stress related. I think it is. I mean, I'm sure there's
a physical
thing, but I could track it back to, let's say, 2.5 weeks ago ish or so. My back has been seizing up in ways that are, you know, like kind of just put you on the floor style. And I need to figure out. So in the next book I read, somebody sent me, one of my friends who also had this back pain, some books on stretches and stuff. So I'm going to go from Elminster maybe to a bit of physical therapy reading. And some books on that stuff. He sent me 2 books. One was kind of it's the mental aspect of it, which I thought was interesting. That I'd be curious to read. And my friend said it didn't work for him, but he said a lot of people he knows said it kind of did work of like, hey, you got to get your head right. This is a lot of stress causing this problem. And the other one is like actual stretches and stuff to do for, we've talked about it before here, but you know, work that core, you know?
Oh yeah. Especially if you sit all day.
I found myself this weekend, I went to a punk show for the first time in a while.
Oh, yeah.
This band Off was playing what I think are their farewell shows.
OFF?
Point, yeah. So it's Keith Morris from the Circle Jerks. Like, it's his band that he'd been doing for the last 20 or something years. That was like kind of his new project. And they were playing their farewell shows with this other band, Fucked Up, Canadian punk band that I really like.
Which you're wearing the shirt of.
I am wearing the shirt of. But so I'd been to a show in a while, really since the last one I played, last year, and even just kind of like, I put, you know, comfortable shoes on and I was, you know, I wasn't like jumping in the pit or anything, but just kind of standing there at a punk show for a while, I started realizing my back was hurting in a way that it maybe had not before. And what I realized is that I haven't had to stand around on hardwood floors watching bands for hours at a time in a while. And my body was just like, what are you doing? This isn't, you didn't stretch. You didn't do anything before this.
And you want me to be upright for how long?
Yeah, I wasn't even like exerting myself that much. But like both me and my partner, when we got home, we were like, I'm sore in a way that I feel like I should not be for not having jumped in a pit or anything.
Yeah, you know, the body wants to, body wants to be exercised. It wants to be, there was a, I feel like we brought them up so much more recently than ever for no reason, but it came up in my feed and I watched it. Kurtzgatz, is that the,
Kurtzgesagt.
Kurtzgesagt's video about, and again, I'm not saying this is science is, sometimes they do pop science and it's like, what happens if you nuke a black hole? And like, you know, it's whatever, but they had a video about humans, and I thought this was really interesting, maybe backed by more modern science, will burn the same amount of calories no matter your physical activity over the course of a period of time. Your body will adjust to burn about 1800 to 2300 calories a day, and that's how human bodies are wired. And that it was claiming it had done the research, not it, there had been research done to track people in more sedentary lifestyles in like an office and some of the last remaining foraging native tribes and done calorie intake, and they were about the same. And the science, if you think about it, does sound kind of interesting. And again, take it with a grain of salt. I'm not here to evangelize it. I'm just reporting what I saw, that in a hunter-gatherer society, if you're finding it harder to find food and need to burn more calories, you're going to be in a death spiral because you need to. So the idea was, the science, the hypothesis was, it's a fixed amount of calories you're burning, but where you're burning those calories changes. So 75% might be on physical activity. Then, you know, 25% might be on mental stuff, right? Or brain activity. The brain uses a lot. So the idea being, not that exercise is not necessary, but you might not lose weight during it, but that in a sedentary lifestyle, you're putting fewer calories into physical activity and too many calories into everything else, which makes your cortisol levels go up and your immune response go up in a bad way, where you get inflammation and your body just kind of goes into overdrive because it has an abundance of energy to put into those things. And if you exercise, you're actually reaching a better balance with where your calories are going, which I thought was an interesting
That makes sense. Yeah. And I think that's like a leveling over time, right? Like an adaptation.
It's a leveling over time.
Because like in the short term, obviously you've got to burn extra calories just to power your muscles and stuff. But
yes,
That's exactly what I read when I lost a bunch of weight last year. And I looked up, like, why do weight loss plateaus happen? And like the stuff I found was like, yes, everybody who loses a large amount of weight will eventually plateau.
They said a couple of months, like you'll stabilize in like 3 to 4 months.
That was kind of my experience, is that eventually your body will adapt to the caloric deficit that you've got going, and then you'll stop. And then, so I was like, well, what do you do if you need to keep going? And
just eat less.
Yes. Unfortunately, the answer was, there's no good answer here other than you just need to eat less and exercise even more.
Just caloric deficit. Yeah. I did think it was interesting to see that your body, or again, theorize that your body could have so much extra energy. It's like self-destructing in a way, because it's using too much of that energy for things it thinks are good, but are causing damage to you. Like, hey, maybe I can tone down the amount I think about the end of the world from, you know, 30% of my energy intake to 10% or something like that, which I thought was kind of an interesting thing. And I love, even if it's grains of truth in that scientific realm, that people are still trying to figure that stuff out, as far as we are now. It's not like I'm not going to go exercise. The thing that I realized was, man, I haven't exercised in a couple of weeks and I feel it already. Like, I really feel like my body is like, hey, man, no, you're at the point in your life where you need to do a little something every day. It just stinks. Speaking of a little something every day, I feel great for my kids' swim practice. Mm-hmm. Last swim meet next week. Saturday mornings, 7:30 swim meets. And they end at 11.
Nope.
So how ridiculous is that? Now, I am going to say my wife is the one that takes him there, and I join them there around 8:45, 9 o'clock, because yeah. I just cannot. I don't have it. But she works the swim meet. She does the announcing there, because even she's like, I can't just sit there for 4 hours. What the hell are we doing?
It's a valid question.
Why? It's wrong. It should be illegal.
Yep. I don't disagree.
Saturday mornings, 7:30? Illegal. Call the
cops.
No
one should be allowed to do anything on Saturday before 10 a.m.
You want to run for president? I got
that's
a
my legal.
For you.
That is my presidential platform. If you try to do any activity before 10 a.m. on a Saturday, you are going to prison.
Go to jail. This is why we got damn robots.
You want I'm a platform anti-carceral for everything except that.
All the robots work from 2 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then humans can take back over. At that point, just stop it. Just stop it, man. Rough. Especially
no
when
way
it's
to
like
live.
Friday, I'm just like, oh man, all right, I'm gonna stay up, I'm gonna watch something, and then I gotta remember I gotta be up in like, you know, ungodly hours where angels are still sleeping, because I can hear them. Anyway, I'm happy. One more Saturday, and we're good.
And then your life is ruined.
And then that's over. No, and then I could sleep in until 8:30 or 9 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Brad, on the weekend, do you sleep in? If you can, and the stars align, would you sleep in? What do you feel like you would want to sleep in until? What's your threshold?
I'm trying to think. Like, if I sleep past 9, I feel like I have
squandered something,
betrayed myself.
Okay,
like too much of the day is now gone.
Okay, so like 9, if you can get to 9, you're still happy. Like, but past 9, you're feeling a little hedonistic, a little, you've gone too far.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on, you know, if I stayed up late, obviously you need the sleep and you don't want to.
Yeah,
I'd rather sacrifice some of the morning than just be tired all day.
Yeah,
but ideally, if I went to bed like at a reasonable hour, like I'd like to be up by 7:30, I would say.
Yeah, ideally,
if I am rested, if I've gotten like a good 7.5 hours, 8 hours of sleep, I would absolutely rather get up at 7:30.
Alex, you
and just have the quiet morning to just chill and do something.
7:30, but a quiet morning, not 7:30 and immediately have to do a thing.
No, yeah, so, exactly. Yeah, that's just like, okay, I just want to sit in here and like tinker
chill
with some project.
Yes. Okay. Alex, I assume you're the same way. 7:30, quiet morning.
My man, I could not be living more differently. I would love to have the mornings, but I am just not that kind of person. I have never been that kind of person. There is no functionality in me before 9 a.m. And let's be real, it probably before 10. So on the weekends, you don't get me up until my body says it's time to get up. And a lot of times my body says I ain't getting up before 11.
Do you have blackout curtains in your bedroom?
Not blackout, but they're very dark.
Okay. And is your partner similar?
She's usually up before I am, but she's just sitting in bed doing stuff while I'm still snoring away because there's nothing else for her to do, really.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a pretty chill weekend mornings.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Generally speaking.
Okay.
But I've always just been such a heavy sleeper and such a late sleeper. Like, I'm a nocturnal person.
I'm very similar to you, Alex. I am also, like, if before I had kids and stuff like that, it was definitely a sit in bed on the weekend until, like, 10 or 11, until I had to get up. But
I'm
now,
not doing the going to bed at like, you know, 5 or 6 in the morning thing anymore and have not for a long time, but I'm still usually not in bed until like 1 or 2.
Yeah,
like I did that myself as a teenager.
Yeah.
Up to like 20-ish or something, you know, like summers off from school, high school and college. Like, yeah, definitely until I had, you know, a summer job kind of gets in the way of that. Although I actually worked like afternoon shift in a lot of cases, even then. So it was pretty easy to just... like still be sitting there on the computer at like 5 or 6 in the morning when my dad was getting up, walking down the hall, looking at me and just shaking his head and walking on.
I got yelled at. Oh, I wish I just got a head shake. I had to like hit the lights and then, pretend I was sleeping and then I can turn the computer back on and play more Civ. Otherwise I'd get in big trouble. That all changed, and now I'm kind of with you, Brad. I think if I sleep past 9, I feel like, what the hell, man? My day is gone.
Right.
I wasted my weekend. It's all gone.
Right. That was my morning.
Yeah. That's like a percentage of my weekend is now evaporated and I can't get that back. I need every hour.
Yeah. And like it's more valuable time to me because I'm rested and yes. like clear headed and ready to do something. But it's
and
like
people aren't bothering you yet. And right. like, mm-hmm. not saying anybody's partner is poking at it. I'm just saying life isn't coming at you. People aren't like calling and doing things. It's usually a quieter time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'd rather go to bed early because I'm tired at night and like, I'm not going to enjoy the thing I do at night when I'm tired as much. Right. But then, mm-hmm. but then I do different things in the morning. So it's not like I'm going to like get up and watch that movie I was going to watch last night. It's like at 8 in the morning.
Yes. I was talking to somebody who plays their games at like 6:37 in the morning, gets their gaming time in.
Yeah. I've done that, but that was out of necessity around the podcast and stuff like that. That's not.
I literally, like I could not possibly make a video game work that early in the morning. I just, the mental connections are not being made at that stage for me.
Like, frankly, that is basically the most realistic way to like get through long games quickly for me. Like, I remember for whatever reason, I remember Callisto Protocol. Uh-huh. I played a lot of that game between the hours of like 6 and 7:30 or like 5:30 to 7:30.
That's funny. It's a early morning horror show.
Because I was waking up early at that time, and I was like, well, I'm up. It's still dark. I might as well just play this horror game.
The one I always think of is reviewing Red Dead 2, where I had a week, so I was playing all day, every day, like not coming into work, basically, because I was trying to get through it in time for the review embargo. And the earliest I got up, I think, was like 9, generally, to try and get through that stuff. But straight up, I could see in my playing, I was way worse, way less responsive, way less functional for the first like 90 minutes that I started playing every time I would do that. And then by that point, once the coffee had kicked in and once my brain was functioning, I was just back to normal and it was fine. But that first hour and change was always just like walking through sludge. I just couldn't make anything happen.
I can't go. I think I can't play. I've noticed past like 11 now. I start falling asleep no matter what the game is. And yep. I just which is kind of a nice feeling, like falling asleep playing a game is it's drifting off while you're playing, but then I always have to like close everything down and like shut it down. Yeah,
they're hoping autosaves in case something bad happens while you're not off.
But yeah, like 11 is probably my tipping point where I used to be like a 2 o'clocker and be fine. And if I drink a coffee, I'm getting fucking too old. If I drink a coffee after 6, then I'm probably up until 4 a.m. So yeah, I don't know. Bodies change. I always wanted to be a morning person. I'm still not. I hate it, but I do it out of because there ain't no sleeping in this house. Mm-hmm. There isn't a kid or a dog or something or a swim meet. Something. Maybe that's why I like camping something. So much. Just go live in the woods and be eaten by a bear.
That would simplify some things. You're right.
Never watch these tapes. All right. That's going to do it for our ramble cast. Hope everybody's getting the sleep they want, whether it's in the evening, the morning, the night shift. Don't let the robots take your overnight job. Whether you're subscribed or not subscribed, we thank you for listening and subscribing to our Patreon. That's can't knock subscriptions too much. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to this ramblecast.
No, ours is the good one.
So we always has been. It's the best one. It's the only one you need, really. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. If you're watching the video, we've got our finale wrap-up bonus episode of the Watchcast going up this week, so you can check that out. We should have a Never Been a Better podcast at the end of this week, along with a patron's choice. I think next week is the week I'm out, and then the week after that, we are all the offices closed. So we'll have some stuff going on next week as well, but then the week after that will be some pre-recorded stuff. So heads up there on the schedule. Thank you, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week. See ya.
This is the most dangerous cheese in the world.